Welcome to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Blanford. Each week, we'll bring you a sampling of some of the best Catholic podcasts being prepared and shared out there on the internet. This week, we kick off the program with an offering from Father John Ricardo and his podcast site, You Were Born for This. With the pandemic, we're just now getting comfortable returning to our own churches. Some things just aren't like they used to be, and that can be a little disconcerting. Father Ricardo takes that discomfort to a whole new level by asking, how comfortable would we be in the first century church? Here's Father John Ricardo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the You Were Born for This podcast with Father John Ricardo. That's me. I'm Father John. I am the executive director at Acts 29, where we talk about anything and everything that has to do with the transformation of the church and the age in which we're living. And Mary, it's good to see you again.
Good to be with you, Father.
Happy Pentecost week.
Gosh, holy cow.
Novena days, right?
I know.
Extraordinary. Hope you had a good
love
Ascension
this time
Thursday
in the church.
On Sunday.
I did.
Never quite figure that out. How do we celebrate Ascension Thursday?
On a Sunday.
On Sunday. Never mind. All right.
That's another podcast,
yeah,
right?
What's our topic today? It's going to fit in perfect with this novena that we're in the middle of, right?
Yeah, we have a rather provocative topic today, I think. We're just going to pose the question, like, how comfortable would we be in the first century church?
Not very. Okay, I answered that one. What's the next question?
I'm not going to ask another question, but I am going to ask you to pray, though, Father, before we jump in.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, in these great days, this time in which we not only call to mind that gap between the ascension of your Son and our Lord, but also the outpouring of the Spirit. So we pray for an outpouring of the Spirit upon us, upon the whole church, upon the Holy Father, upon all his brother bishops, upon our leaders in the local churches that we belong to, upon all priests and deacons, all laymen and women baptized in the name of your Son. Lord, we just pray for that same fire, courage, joy, enthusiasm, trust, and confidence that filled the early church to fill us now in these days in which you've chosen for us to live. We entrust this time to you now. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy
Spirit. Amen.
So you came across this great quote not too long ago. Why don't you maybe kick off this episode with that quote, would you?
Yeah, I did. And we've talked about this a lot, and it's a thought-provoking question for all of us in the church. A man once said this. He said that if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been drawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference.
Ouch!
That's kind of convicting.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he came up with 95%, but it's probably pretty darn close if it's not there. Wow. I think that's spot on. Say that one more time. That's worth hearing.
Yeah, so if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference.
I'm thinking immediately of a guy that we know. He works in a diocese. he works, you know, like quote unquote downtown. And he was just talking to some of the people that he works with. He says, you know what? I think if we just closed up shop and we didn't come to work, it would probably take at least a month for the rest of the diocese to even notice that we're not here. Right. We do so many things in the church, well-intentioned. I mean, I'm part of the system, you know, like I'm a priest, right? So we do so many things that we've kind of just, they've become normalized and we do them, but they're not necessarily things that we necessarily should be doing in this age that we're living in right now. And they're not bearing any fruit. And yeah, this quote's really provocative.
Yeah, it is.
And more than a little convicting.
So it becomes, you know, what you're talking about, I think, Father, is more of this functional approach to the church rather than it being truly, truly spirit-driven. Like you say, we're all doing great things, right? But oftentimes we're doing it, unfortunately, on our own means, our own strength.
So maybe I can reword the question. So we'd said our topic is how comfortable would we be in the first century mm-hmm. church? Another way to ask this, especially in these novena mm-hmm. days, you know, people talk often about, you know, like there's going to be a new Pentecost. And you and I were at an event a set of years ago. I remember talking to you and a couple others who were with us as we were witnessing some things. And I just said, I don't know that we really want a new Pentecost. So, why do I say that? Because most of us like things under control.
Neat and tidy.
Yeah, like it's in a box. Mm-hmm. Where's the formula? Mm-hmm. You know, like what do I do? Just give me the pattern. Tell me the words to say. Clear expectations, mm-hmm. right? And the expectations in the early church, they were as simple as this. Do whatever he tells you, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's what Mary says to Jesus, mm-hmm. last words in the Gospel of John that our Lady records or is recorded as saying. And they're really applicable to us now with the Holy Spirit, like do whatever he tells you. Mm-hmm. So we had fun with this just the other day. We had a little academy of priests and we posed some scenarios. So maybe just to put some images in our mind, refresh our memories of some of the stories we've been reading about in the Acts of the Apostles over these Easter days. We can retell these, and then we can just ask ourselves, like, what would we do in that situation, right? So we kind of reword these to kind of put them in more modern times. But so we live in Metro Detroit. Woodward is a major intersection in Detroit. We're not too far from it here. And so we posed the scenario. So imagine you come to me, I'm a pastor, you come to me and you say, I got to tell you about this experience. I was standing on the corner of Woodward and 12 Mile. And as I was standing there, this is what you tell me, the Spirit said to me, at which point my eyes start to roll, right? So the Spirit said to me, he's like, oh no, you're one of them, right? Catch up with that dude on the bike riding down the sidewalk. And so you tell me that, you know, you started running down the street after this guy and his bike. He's got his, you know, ear pods in, and you look at him and you somehow are able to communicate over the noise in the ear pods, what are you listening to? And he goes, I'm listening to the Bible in a year. And you go, great, what are you listening to right now? He says, I'm listening to this passage in Isaiah, but I don't understand what it's talking about. And so you begin to describe for him that this is about Jesus. And as you're, you know, running alongside this guy and his bike on the sidewalk, you run by this little pond, and he stops and says, hey, like, I want to get baptized there. Can I get baptized? Mm-hmm. And so, like, all the churches were closed. Nobody was available. And this guy was, you know, seriously crying for this. And so you baptized him. What would I do? Like, that's Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right?
Absolutely.
Now, so forget the whole, like, well, she doesn't have the authority to baptize. I mean, we're not going into the canonical stuff or, the ordinary minister of baptism. That's not the point. The point is,
how would we respond?
Yeah, like,
someone comes to your office and knocks on your door and says, can I have about 20 minutes of your time? I'm going to tell you about this. And you're going, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, people come into my office and tell stories like this, and my immediate reaction is, you're wacko.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just leery, right? And yet—
Here he comes.
This really happened, right? Or what about the story of, like, Saul and Ananias, right? So Ananias, you know, they come in to see us one day, and they go, we got to tell you about what happened. We're like, okay, what happened? We're all prim, proper, and whatever. And Ananias says, I had this vision of the Lord— and he said to me, this guy's coming to town, you know, who he's been killing Christians, but he's coming to town. I want you to meet him. He's going to be staying over in such and such a house. I want you to baptize him. And then Saul starts saying, yeah, and like at the same time this was happening, I see Jesus in a vision, and I'm blinded, and then I'm taken by the hand by the people who are with me to this guy's house, and then this guy here, Ananias, he walks in, and he prays with me, and I'm baptized, and I can see. And we're like, yeah.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. I got to go. Or Peter and Cornelius, right? Acts chapter 10. So Cornelius starts by saying, yeah, I had this, an angel of the Lord appeared to me. And right away I'm sitting here going, and how did you know that was an angel of the Lord, right? An angel of the Lord appeared to me. And then Peter says, yeah, and at the same time this was happening, I'm standing up on the roof one day, and out of nowhere comes this sheet. like this big giant bed sheet lowered down and all these animals are inside it. I'm like, okay, where are we going here? And then, you know, so he's trying to explain what happens. And then the next day he's back up on the roof, and while I'm up on the roof, Peter says to me, so he says, right, hey, I'm up on the roof, and the Spirit said to me, there's three men downstairs, and you're supposed to go with them wherever they take you. And so I go with these three men, and then I start talking about Jesus, and as I'm talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody, and they all started to speak in tongues, and so we baptized them. These are normal things in the Acts of the Apostles, right? This is, I don't want to say this is every day in the first century church, because Luke's giving us a very compressed picture, but this...
It was normative in the early church. Right? And I think sometimes, Father John, the challenge is even as we're praying with and reading the scriptures, especially over the last set of weeks in the Acts of the Apostles, you often say, you know, we get, as a priest, you get comfortable with the magnificent.
You get used to
the magnificent. And I think that same principle can also apply to the Word of God, that we read these stories over and over and over again, and they lose their punch, their power, their pack. But this is what happened in the early church.
Right. Paul's on his way. He wants to go one place. The Lord blocks him, he says.
The Spirit prevented me.
And then he has a vision of a man saying, hey, would you come over to Macedonia? And Paul's like, I think we should go to Macedonia. So they go to Macedonia, and boom, the church gets into Europe, right? This is normative. So the point of breaking all this open right now is that these things really happened. We read them Sunday after Sunday. And the question we want to ask is something like, are they happening to us? Like, are you and I, are we in the church, are we hearing the Spirit talk to us in this way? And do we even want him to? I'm not so sure.
I think sometimes if we open ourselves to that possibility that God still speaks today, and of course he does, he's speaking to us all the time, it's going to require something more of us. It gets a little messy when we don't have everything all figured out.
Oh, it gets so messy. We want 5-year plans. Like, we're done with 5-year plans. How did your 5-year plan work with COVID?
You know,
in whatever industry you're in, whether you're serving in the church or you're in the airlines industry or the travel industry, like how did that work out, right? We so like to just have everything neat and tidy, but the reality is it's so much more exciting.
It is.
And just let the Lord lead.
So two thoughts. It's an illusion that we have any control anyway.
No,
I mean, we've certainly learned that. We've learned that as a country. We've learned it in our personal lives when we go through trials and whatnot. And the other thing is a story I was sharing with the brothers the other night in the academy. I was listening to an interview with a pastor who had stepped back from his church. Hmm. And he had a plan for what he was going to do when he went abroad in his ministry. And the Spirit prevented him from going back to do a set of things that he wanted to do. And he said, you know, I'm so used to knowing what I'm going to be doing a year from now, 3 years from now. And he said, I don't know what the Lord has planned for me. And he said, but I'm not unsettled by it. He goes, in fact, the inverse is the case. I have great peace knowing God is leading me in all of this. And I don't have to have all the answers.
Right.
That's a Spirit-led mindset that I think many of us are just really uncomfortable with.
Well, we weren't trained for it. We weren't prepared for it. But as we move more and more into this kind of apostolic-like time, right, meaning that the era we're living in is more and more permeated with a worldview which is either ignorant of or hostile to Christianity, mm-hmm. and where we don't have the resources that we used to have. We don't have the cachet we used to have as the church. In the culture at large, we're going to need power, right? We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're going to need the inspiration, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And just relying on our own intelligence, at least I know in my case, ain't going to cut it, right? So here's a couple questions maybe to think about. So when was the last time you started, just maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're a director of evangelization and discipleship at a parish, the role that you had before this. When's the last time you started something at the parish at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? Or are we really comfortable giving the whole agenda to Jesus, right? We've commented many times that in the church, oftentimes in our meetings, prayer is an agenda item. Like we just say some quick formal prayer and then we like, quote unquote, get on with the real work. What if the real work was praying and right. our prayer was, Lord, we don't know what to do. Show us what to do. And then we actually took time to listen. And then as brothers and sisters who are collectively praying, listening, you know, like asking, okay, what did you hear? Let's try to discern what we heard.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If we're healthy, then we should be able to do that. Right. right?
And that's a key point to keep in our minds that discernment's required in all of this, right? One of our essential principles is God is the architect, where prayer has a place of primacy in this mission. What's required in that is asking the question, are we open to leaving the familiar behind?
Right.
To going into those places that we never thought about going, to doing things that we never thought we would do. If the Spirit leads you, if the Father speaks that to your heart, are you willing to leave the familiar behind?
So remember, we were serving together in a parish, and we had a big meeting with our team at the time, and we were just kind of beginning to leave what we might call a Christendom model of parish life and head into more apostolic model. And we were going through all sorts of things like team building and throwing out plans. And it wasn't to be chaotic, right? I mean, the Spirit isn't a spirit of chaos and disorder. It was really just to give everything to God and say, we don't really know what to do, but we're not nervous. Mm-hmm. So we trust that you will make it known, mm-hmm. right? So it's not about, well, I don't know. I don't have any plans here. And we're just going to continually, you know, fly by the seat of our pants. That's not what we were about. It was more about, let's give the permission back to God to lead us. And I can remember we were standing there, we were sitting in the room where we were all meeting. And I got up at one point and I says, guys, all I know is this. It's like we've just crossed a threshold mm-hmm. and we've left something behind. And I can't tell you that I know what's ahead of us because I don't, you know? So all I know is we have gotten to where we are by praying together, by discerning together, by mm-hmm. arguing passionately mm-hmm. together, by listening to the Lord's direction. It wasn't like I just sat down with everybody and said, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to come with me. Like, we had enough people who could push back and say, are you pretty sure this is what mm-hmm. God's asking?
Right.
And so we were leaving the familiar behind, and I can remember looking at you and everybody saying, I don't know what's up ahead, but I do know who's leading us. And because he's leading us, we don't have anything to be afraid of. And in fact, it's actually really exciting.
It was exciting. And to your point, you created space for the Spirit to move.
We
just moved a lot of stuff out of the way and said, okay, Lord, we're handing this over to you. Show us what the next thing you're asking us to do.
Yep. And because God wants this more than we do, probably went across the levels on the microphones, I'm sure, but God wants this more than we do. We got to be convinced of that, right? Like he wants his world back. You know, it's not about us having some good metrics in the church. Like God sent his son to accomplish his desire, which is to gather into one all of his children. So we need to act with confidence, right? So the whole Easter season has been about trying to focus on what it is that Jesus has done for us, that he's defeated the dark powers, he's bound the strong man, he's assailed him. He's the one who's calling us. And now, as we draw into Pentecost, now it's like, okay, Lord, you promised that the Spirit would come and he would animate us and he would lead us and he would show us what to do. We need him now.
Gosh, more than ever.
We need him. Yep. So come, Holy Spirit, and fall upon the leaders of the church, fall upon all the baptized. You know, like give us, like I always say, the ears of Dumbo. Some of us are too young to know who Dumbo was, but look him up. So I need big ears because I don't hear very well. And then give me the discipline to make time every day and give us as a staff or a team, whether we're in a diocese or a parish or a family, to be disciplined to listen to you every day and then to sit around and talk like, what are you hearing? Mm-hmm. What do you think the Lord's asking of us to do? Because when he's guiding us, it's extraordinary. Mm. Remember that quote from Contalamessa? The church is not a rowboat propelled by the arms of the people in the boat, right?
She's a sailboat.
Yeah, she's a sailboat. Most people in the church I know, me in the church when I was serving in the parish, like my arms were just in knots. I felt like we were rowing, mm-hmm. right? And at a certain point, we made a decision like, hoist the sail, matey. You know, just let the Spirit flow. And then, boom, we're like tic-tacking across the lake, and it was just extraordinary, yeah. right? And that's the plea right now in this week as we head into Pentecost. Go back and read those passages in Acts again where these things happen. Go look at Saul and Ananias and their encounter and note how it describes. Go read Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Go read Peter and Cornelius. Go read Paul and the Macedonian man. Look at Peter and John healing the lame man. And just see, okay, this was normative in the first century. How normative is it in my life, in our parish, in our diocese? And then let's just collectively pray this week. Holy Spirit, make this normative again.
Yeah, as it just story after story, it was testimony after testimony after testimony of what the Spirit was doing. And God wants to do, He wants us to have a testimony to what the Spirit is doing in our lives.
Yeah, so that we're not just reading about what used to happen then.
It can happen
now. We're talking
now.
About what's happening right now. So I'll give
Absolutely,
maybe one last story.
Father.
Here's a story of how the Spirit spoke. We didn't listen, or I didn't listen, and then He spoke, and we listened, and we acted. A set of weeks ago, we were on mission in a diocese. We were working with a bunch of priests, and I remember we were talking. We'd been listening and hearing conversations from some of the priests. Things were getting surfaced right in those conversations, even though unbeknownst to them, they were all saying similar things to us. We were talking about how we were going to conclude the time together. I felt pretty convicted that I was supposed to make something known. So the way I would say it in the Acts of the Apostles language is the Spirit was saying to me, reveal this so that I can do something about it. I didn't reveal it. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. And I left there feeling like a failure, quite honestly, that something had been made known that God wanted to expose so that He could address and begin to heal. We didn't act on it. Then a couple weeks later, similar situation, right? Because most presbyters are going through the same thing because most of us priests are going through the same stuff. So, you know, there's lots of division sometimes and fear and suspicion and there's hurt and there's need for reconciliation and repentance and forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. Something again got surfaced. And this time I'm like, we're going to act on this. And we acted on it and the Spirit moved and began to do tremendous, there's lots more to do, but began to do tremendous healing, reconciliation, repentance.
It was remarkable.
Just fruits that clearly God had done something here because, I don't know about you, but I don't like repenting out loud. And so that's one of the things that is a pretty sure sign that the Holy Spirit's at work. We tend not to own our mistakes very well.
Right.
So all these things were happening. So this week, let's pray for the universal church. Let's pray for the leaders of the church. Let's pray for us in our own ministries that we will be attentive to God's voice, that we'll hear Him, that we'll act on what He's asking us to do. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit will fall in power upon us individually and as a body so that God's desire might be accomplished.
Amen.
And His children might be gathered into one. And people would look at us like they looked at the early church and go, are you guys drunk? And we're like, nope, it's way too early for drinking. I love Peter's answer. It's like, no, we drink, but we don't drink at 9 in the morning, you know? And we don't get drunk either. But we want people to be provoked. And we want people to be provoked because only God could enable to happen what they see happening.
Amen.
And that was one of the many things which drew people to the early church, and it's going to be one of the many things that draw people to the church now.
Amen.
So
let's not squelch the Spirit.
Do not squelch the Spirit, and in the meantime, do not be afraid. God is with you, and you were born for this.
That was Father John Ricardo from the podcast series, You Were Born for This. You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Blanford, and we'll be back with more samples of great Catholic podcasts right after this.
So, the scan button brought you here. Awesome. We like company. Get to know us. And if you have to leave, come back. You're always welcome. Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
Next up on Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler is an offering from the podcast site From the Friars. This is Father Luke Fletcher with Temporary Travelers.
Listening to From the Friars podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, headquartered in the Bronx, New York City.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you his peace. Welcome. It's a great joy to see you all here. And today, you're fine. God bless you. He's not stealing the flowers, okay? Here in the New York area, we have kind of a rare thing. Most of the dioceses around the world have transferred the Ascension to today, to Sunday. But here in New York and a few other places, we still celebrate the Ascension on Thursday. So we have the seventh Sunday of Easter today. The readings are a little different. And we have this 9 days between the Ascension of Jesus on Ascension Thursday, when the early church with Mother Mary was in Jerusalem praying, preparing their hearts for the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So we have kind of a 9-day period where the church was meeting together and they were praying, and then they were getting ready for the coming of Pentecost. So when you have a diocese where the Ascension still is on Thursday, we have this beautiful reliving of that. So we're in 9 days right now. The original, the very first novena, the 9-day prayer, asking for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? And the readings here are kind of interesting. And I'll be honest with you, I was having a little more difficulty thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to preach on? So I got here nice and early, and I did a rosary walk here in your neighborhood. And a couple of interesting things happened to me in your neighborhood, and I think this is the Holy Spirit's guiding, so I want to share them with you, okay? I was being completely overwhelmed with how beautiful the neighborhood is here. It's very beautiful, isn't it? Did you ever go for a walk around here? It's very beautiful. There's a lot of work going into the landscaping. And I was just thinking as I was walking around and seeing the flowers and the hedges and the trees, how just the work that went into that and how beautiful it was. And there were a couple of places where you have some really big old trees. Some really big old trees. There's a nice big sycamore right over here. And I just took a moment to think about that. And I was trying to guess, like, how old is this tree? You know, how long has it been here? And if these trees could talk, what would they tell us? You know, as the neighborhood changes and as things happen and people come and go. And then there are other plants that kind of look like maybe they were recently put in. They're kind of young and small. And it got me wondering about, you know, what they might look like in the future when they grow. And so I was thinking about that. And then I rounded the corner to the baseball diamond over here. And there's kids playing baseball. And I was a huge baseball kid. Anyone else here love playing baseball? Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's take me out to the ball game, right? You know? And I just had this memory of being a little kid and just the excitement of putting on the uniform and the mitt and playing baseball and just great memories. And I had a couple of really good plays and I just remembered that, you know, as a little kid hitting a ball over the fence or, you know, and just the joy of being a young person. And I see there are some young people here at Mass tonight. It's so good to see you guys. It's so important that you're here in church. Yes, I'm talking to you. It's so good to see you here. So then I rounded the corner, and there was a man working on his lawn. He was an older man. I'm not going to tell you which direction. And I had a little chat with him, and I said to him, wow, your property is really looking nice. You could tell there's a lot of TLC going into his lawn care. And he said one word to me. He said the word temporarily. And it kind of caught me off guard. And so as I said, God bless you, and I continued praying my rosary on my way back to the church here, I got praying, just praying about that word temporarily. And you know, it kind of pulled it together for me. This life is passing. Some of the words that we have from Jesus in the Gospel of John here are so important. We're listening in as he communicates with God the Father. And he says that we do not belong to this world. We are here. God bless you. You allergic to the world? Okay. We are here temporarily. We are here temporarily. You don't think about that when you're young, right? But when you get a little older, maybe you start to think about that. We're getting ready to go to our true home, to the land of our Heavenly Father. So we are here temporarily. Jesus is teaching us that. And you know, that is the biblical faith perspective. And I think so many people nowadays have lost that. They've lost the understanding of, like, as beautiful as this world is, and it is beautiful, this is not our home. We do not belong here. We are pilgrims passing through. It's a fundamental truth, right? We are pilgrims passing through. We are, in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, we are strangers sojourning in a strange land. We are strangers sojourning in a strange land. Our time here is short. Our time here is short. We're passing through. And that idea can be a little bit scary for some people. It can be an exciting idea for other people, and it can be a confusing idea for other people. So where are we going? How do we get there? And I really believe the second reading, absolutely shows us the way. God is love. He calls us to love one another. And John says here, it was read so beautifully for us. Thank you for proclaiming the word of God so beautifully. He says that the love of God is being brought to perfection in us. What a great description of what this life is supposed to be, huh? As we make our way through this life, being a young person to being a midlife person to being an old person, closer to glory person, the love of God is being brought to perfection in us. The things that we go through, the joys and the sorrows, the relationships, the hopes, the dreams, and the disappointments, all of that can be a means by which God's love is being brought to perfection in us. God's love is maturing in us. It's being purified. It's being strengthened and matured by what we go through. That's spirituality. That's our spiritual life, our relationship with the Lord, as we navigate our way, huh? The things that we have to go through. This is what it's about. It's about growing in God's love. And I find that very beautiful. And you know, if you live that way, there is a joy and a peace that the world cannot give. There is a joy and a peace that the world cannot understand. We don't belong here. We should stick out like a sore thumb, and it's starting to happen. The authentic Christians are sticking out as a sore thumb. Good. It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that way. So the love of God being brought to perfection within us. So we struggle to grow and to mature in God's grace. And when you live that way, you won't be afraid of dying. You won't be afraid of dying. Do you realize as you shut your eyes in this world and open them in the next, what awaits us? Our true homeland with God, right? Remember the old Baltimore Catechism? Why are we here? To know, to love, and to serve God in this world, and to be happy with him in the next. You really can't say it any better than that. So thank you for listening. May the Lord give you his peace, and let's pray for one another to make good use of the time that's given us. Amen.
Been listening to From the Friars podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars, the Renewal. Please visit us at franciscanfriars.com or on social media, CFR_Franciscans.
You can find more episodes of From the Friars by searching From the Friars on your favorite search engine. You're listening to the Lunchtime Podcast Sampler on Catholic Radio Indy. I'm Kent Blanford, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Faith in Action is our oldest, longest-running program here on Catholic Radio Indy. We're looking for some local Catholic businesses or organizations to help us underwrite the cost of this program. It doesn't cost a lot, and your underwriting support will help see that local programs like Faith in Action stay on the airwaves here in Central Indiana. Most businesses have never thought about underwriting a program. They don't know how much it'll cost or what they might say in their underwriting announcements. Well, that's okay, because with just a phone call, we can tell you all about it. Call Val at 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. The call is free and there's no obligation. We can really use your support. So please give Val a call right now while you're thinking about it. 317-870-8400 or email valerie@catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy. Welcome back to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. You know, there are a lot of parishes and ministries out there that are producing podcasts with valuable Catholic content. Does your parish have a media ministry that you'd like us to share? Just send that information to kent@catholicradioindy.org. That's Kent, K-E-N-T, @catholicradioindy.org. And now, it's time for this week's episode of 3-Minute Theology with Joan Watson. This week, Joan tackles the debate of faith and works.
Sometimes we think of the end of our life like a giant balance sheet, where I have my good works on one side and my sins on the other, and if my good works outweigh my sins, I get to go to heaven. Well, that's not the way it works, because I can never earn heaven. I can't do anything to merit the grace of salvation that Christ won for me on the cross. But yet Paul in Philippians says that I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And so how do I reconcile these two things? Well, justification does come from faith, but it doesn't come from faith alone. Nor does Paul say that it does. In Romans 3:28, he says that we are saved by faith apart from works of the law. And if we read Romans in context, we see that what he's talking about is the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law. In Galatians 5, then, he talks about that Old Testament law being fulfilled by charity, being fulfilled by love for one's neighbor. And so our works can't justify us, but works are part of that justification. They grow out of that growth in holiness. And that's what James is talking about when he says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead." We are saved by faith, but it's a living faith. It's a faith, as Paul says, formed by love. A faith formed by love and charity and shown by works of goodness towards our neighbors. And so it's not just an intellectual faith that saves us. I believe that Jesus is God. That's not enough. Why? Even the devil would have said that. But it's a faith that's shown and cooperated with. And so we are justified by faith, but we have to cooperate with that grace. So saved by grace, cooperated with grace, and shown in good works. And we see throughout Scripture, at the end of our life, we will be judged on our deeds. It's the whole story of Matthew 25 with the sheep and the goats. Why are the goats condemned? Well, because they didn't serve their neighbor. When did we serve Christ? When you served your neighbor. And so it's our good works. In Revelation 20, we are judged. The scroll is opened. And what do we see from the book of Revelation? It's the book of life. The dead were judged according to their deeds by what was written in the scroll. And we see it in Romans 2:6-7. By your stubbornness and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath. And the just judgment of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. And so remember, we live out our faith with hope and with charity. And at the end of our life, we will be judged according to our works. And this is A Little Theology in 3 Minutes.
For more from 3-Minute Theology, you can go to 3minutetheology.com. This weekend, we'll celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. One of the primary readings for the week comes from the second chapter of Acts. It reads, "When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim." Our next podcast is from Catholic Inspiration's Father Andrew Ricci.
Their website is www.studypraserve.com. And this episode is all about Pentecost.
Hi, this is Father Andrew Ritchie, and you're listening to Catholic Inspiration, a podcast from my website at studypraserve.com. These homilies and presentations form part of my ministry as a Catholic priest for the Diocese of Superior. And now, I invite you to open your heart to some Catholic inspiration. On this Feast of Pentecost, we bring to a stunning conclusion the 50 days of Easter. We've been celebrating the Lord is risen, alleluia, alleluia. But as we understand the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have for this weekend's Masses a lot of options. Now, depending on if you go on Saturday night or if you go on Sunday, the Vigil Mass has a lot of different options, but then so too does Mass during the day. I want to just touch on all of these options for a moment. There are far more here than can possibly be addressed, and it's going to depend on what Mass you go to and really the selection of the presider. But that being said, we start with the Vigil Mass. There's four options for the Old Testament reading. The first one is from Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. The second reading is from Exodus chapter 19, how Moses leads the people to meet God at the very foot of Mount Sinai. The third option is from Ezekiel chapter 37, how God brings the Spirit and restores even dried bones to new life. And finally, from the prophet Joel chapter 3, how God will pour the Spirit upon the people. What do we have going here? All sorts of images of power, of new life, of hope. Words that unite us and draw us together. The gift of speech that can unite the many different elements of peoples into one. Lots of options here in the Old Testament. The psalm response is beautiful. It's from Psalm 104. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. A powerful call that we seek the Holy Spirit. We draw upon the Spirit for renewal and new life. The option for the second reading is from Romans chapter 8. It talks about how the Holy Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, that when we're struggling, when we're having a difficult time, we call upon the Spirit. And finally, the gospel that will be heard at the Vigil Mass is from John chapter 7, how Jesus speaks of the Spirit as living water that flows from within. Again, this sense of new life, of renewal. Then we go to Mass during the day. Now here you've only got one option for the first reading. It's taken from Acts chapter 2, how the Holy Spirit will descend upon the disciples and they will burst forth in speech from all the different languages that are there present in Jerusalem. How people from all these different parts of the world understand the disciples now because they hear them speaking their own native language. The psalm response, again, from Psalm 104, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. That's really the only similarity between the readings on the vigil and the readings during the day. The second reading, there's two options. One can be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how the Spirit gives many different gifts, but it's the same Spirit, and how the Spirit unites all the different parts of the body, even though there's one body. This sense, again, of unity and power. The other option is from Galatians chapter 5, one of my favorite verses. It talks about being guided by the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and then names the fruits of the Spirit. If you don't know it by now, it's one of my favorite, all-time favorite readings. And as I ponder all of the different gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Here we have them in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We then move on to the gospel reading. There's two options here, both from John's gospel. The first is chapter 20, where Jesus breathes on the disciples and he says, peace be with you. He says that twice. And then he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. The second option from John chapter 15, how Jesus speaks of the Spirit of truth, the advocate, the one who will come. Now, these are powerful readings. They're powerful readings, and I would commend them to you. On my website, you can see all the different readings laid out. You can go, you can click on the links to the U.S. Catholic Bishop's website, the USCCB for the daily readings. You can read them all. I can't tell you enough how powerful it is to dwell upon the force of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that changed the hearts and lives of the disciples after the ascension of Christ. It was the Spirit that empowered them to face their obstacles. They were open to it. They were willingly trusting in Jesus. They were willing to be put in uncomfortable situations, and then they received the Spirit. And friends, all of these readings speak to the same dynamic for our own hearts and lives. Right now, we call upon the Spirit. We know that as we've looked back on the past year, a little over a year, and seen how everything has been changed and, you know, recast in the light of COVID-19, how all sorts of disruptions, all sorts of circumstances have had to be changed and altered. We call upon the Spirit today, right now, as we continue to move through the pandemic. And we know that there are certain places in the world that are so gripped right now by this thing. We pray for healing. We pray for God's grace. We pray that the Holy Spirit will change hearts, that will touch our lives, that renew us. Now, all of these readings speak about how God is in control. It's God's power that makes things possible, and it's that Spirit that we call upon in our need. I often think of the prayer that calls upon the Spirit, how we can say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord, amen." That's the prayer. It's a prayer to the Spirit. Folks, all of these readings are going to speak about how we avail ourselves to God's grace that's always within reach, always within our call. Where do you see the need for the Spirit in your life right now? It's a good time to get down on our knees, to pray that God will send that Spirit into our hearts to help us, to touch our lives, and to bless us with the next step that we take in our journey through this life. God bless you all. Hi, this is Father Andrew Ritchie, a Catholic priest for the Diocese of Superior. Friends, I share these homilies and presentations in the hope that they inspire your faith and foster a desire to live for the Lord. Now, for more information, you can find me at studyprayserve.com or use your search engine and put in Catholic Inspiration Podcast, and you'll find me in any number of outlets that are out there today. May God help us, and may God bless us all.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
My 7-year-old girl asked me recently, "Daddy, why does the devil hate us?" I thought of the simplest answer I could give. "Because he hates God and we look like God." Her face lit up. "Wow, we look like God?" And as she said those words, I realized, whoa, we look like God. Look, we're made in the image and likeness of God. How many times have I heard that or said it? But seeing that reality through the eyes of my child reminded me just how profound it is. When Adam first laid eyes on another human being, her deep, intelligent eyes, walking upright with gentle grace and a dignity that said, "I'm master over all this creation." Man, he may have been tempted to bow down and worship. As the psalmist said, "You've made us little less than a god." You've probably been amazed at mountains, oceans, and stars, but what about you? Stop for a minute today and marvel at the wonder of you. I'm sure God does. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's all the time we have for Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler this week. You can find this show, along with all of Catholic Radio Indy's locally produced programs, on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. I'm Kent Blandford. Until next time, take care and God bless. Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.